From the Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest in discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests. And that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. This program is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And you can visit Wright's Coin Shop. It's very easy. If you don't know how to do it, go to wrightscoinshop.com. You can call them here in Western North Carolina. 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. And this is the big New Year edition of the program because, well, this is the last Saturday before New Year's, and then 2015 rolls in.
Hooray.
So I'm excited about 2015. I will be Shelley's backing
yes.
me up on
yes.
this. Sam, you are that one
you can do
dark
it.
Spot.
Nonplussed.
You've got to start with a positive mindset. You have to say, this is going to be the best year of my life. Because we're not getting any younger,
nope.
So you better, you know, I guarantee you, next year probably is not going to be as good as the next year. So, relatively speaking, it's going to be great.
When your whole theory is flawed.
Or maybe, you know.
I think you said that
yeah,
wrong.
Yeah. Reverse that, as Willy Wonka said. Next year is going to be better than 2016 because we're going to get older and more decrepit and, you know, every second we're dying. So it's going to be better.
Every breath we take
so
is one breath closer
your
to death.
Optimism just isn't
Never
working.
Mind, Sam, you're right. It is going to suck. Now, what we are doing this hour is we are digging into one of the greatest mysteries of the human experience. Time. And, you know, I say this a lot, but let me go ahead and repeat it, because as a guy who is always investigating strange and mysterious and fringe and groundbreaking kind of research, you can go out there with all kinds of instrumentation to see what you can measure. But you must always remember that every instrument that you are using was invented by a human, was built by a human, was calibrated by a human, is being used by a human, and is being interpreted by a human. And so ultimately, humans are the quintessential instrument. The experience that we have here, the self-awareness that we enjoy, is the great mystery, and when we start looking at how that experience progresses from what we see as sun up to sundown, from hour to hour, minute to minute, that is sort of where things start to blur, and that's when we start trying to define this experience in terms of time. So let's look at the textbook definition of what time is. Before I do that, you want to take a crack at it? You want to see what your definition of time is, Sam the Animal?
Oh, okay, time. It's one of those things you never really think about. Webster's Dictionary defines time as the passing of seconds, minutes, and hours into a longer thread. I don't know.
Well, okay, here's the actual definition of time. It is a measure in which events can be ordered from the past through the present into the future, and also the measure of durations of events and the intervals between them. Furthermore, time is one of four dimensions in addition to the dimensions of space. And dimensional stuff is complex enough as is. We are pretty good at determining, you know, width and height and breadth. But when you start adding time in there, and not to mention space-time, that's when it gets hard for us to define it, and yet it has been quantified. So let me put, to start this conversation, a bit of a spin on what it means to be a human experiencing time. Essentially, the past, in my opinion, is only separated from the future by this thing we call the present. So that means the past and the future can only exist in a real tangible form if there is this thing called the present. And so really, the crux of the matter is defining what the present is. So how long does the present last? Does the present last 1 second? Well, that couldn't be, because even a second has a beginning and an end, which means there would be a past and future within our past and future. So does it last a half a second? Well, same thing. There's no measurement you could come up with for the present that would not also reflect this same conundrum of dividing this thing called the present into a past and a future. So therefore, the present seems to simply be, for each of us, a moment that is very subjective. So it reminds me of Albert Einstein's quote when he was asked about relativity. A reporter said to him, "For the layperson, how would you describe what relativity is?" And he said, "Well, when you are sitting on a bench next to a pretty girl, an hour seems like a minute. But when you are sitting on a hot stovetop, a minute seems like an hour." So even he, with all of his mathematical genius, is saying it boils down to the subjective, personal, human experience.
I would have gone with the Steve Martin and the Jerk. Well, the first day seemed like a day, but the second day, that was like 3 days. And the third day, it was like a day and a half. But the fourth day.
And this is what makes it so intriguing. We cannot separate the human from the measurement, from the reference. And this actually takes us to another big question. And in this conversation about time, bear with us. Granted, we are going to be sliding around into various tangents and whatnot. It's necessary. When you die, since time and your perception of discerning the past from the future is based upon your personal point of view, when you die, does time cease to exist for you at that moment? And is that why we sometimes get ghostly phenomena that seems to transcend the boundaries of space-time? I'll give you an example. You take a soldier in the Civil War. In the Civil War, in the heat of a terrible battle, there was so much smoke in the air that most of the men fighting couldn't even see what was going on. There are cannons booming, blasting their eardrums nonstop, disorienting them, throwing them off balance, confusing them, placing them in a severely, violently altered state. In the midst of all that, if a guy got his head blown off, but continued to remain conscious in some form? Would he even realize that he had died? Or would he think this is just some other level of this confusion that's around me? And when you go to these battlefields that are haunted by Civil War ghosts, you frequently see these ghosts are still fighting the battle. There is an incredible piece of video. If you've never seen it, go to joshuapwarren.com, and I've got it posted there. My friend Patrick Burke shot at the Gettysburg battlefield in 2001. And you actually see at night a clear, distinct, full-bodied apparition of a soldier marching, if not marching, I guess I should say he's walking in a very steadfast, focused way across a portion of the battlefield. And at one point, he lifts his leg as if he's stepping over a low wall. Now, what's interesting is that that low wall is no longer there, but it was there during the battle. So this apparitional figure is clearly interacting with the battlefield as it was at the time, as opposed to how it is now. And of course, we always wonder about ghosts in terms of imprints, meaning is this some kind of an inanimate impression that is burned or recorded into the environment, or is it literally some kind of an entity that's interactive? In this case, we can't be certain, but it seems most like an imprint. But if this apparition is the energy form of a soldier, that soldier is still fighting the Battle of Gettysburg. And maybe to us, 150 or 60 or however many years has passed. But to him, maybe 3 seconds have passed. Maybe 5 seconds have passed. Have you ever seen this footage, Sam? You're in front of a computer. You can look this up, right?
I can.
Okay. You should see this, because when we come back from the break, it'd be interesting to get your opinion on it. Go to joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P. And when you go to joshuapwarren.com, scroll down to the section that says World's Wildest Ghost Photos. There's a little banner there. And when you click on it, there are about 7 pages of amazing ghostly phenomena. I'm not sure off the top of my head which page this is on. I'm going to try to find it, and during the break, we'll make sure that Sam and I'm sure Shelley has seen this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember it.
Okay, here we go. It's on page 2. Look at this video, and it makes you wonder, is time different for this human than it is for you and me? And when we come back, we'll talk more about the mystery of time, and is it possible that all of us are simultaneously existing in past, present, and future? I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Do you think you can tell?
Time. Time.
It's the show
where the unusual becomes usual.
Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. We're talking about time because it's our New Year's edition of the program, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You can call Wright's at 828-298-5402. You can find a link at speakingofstrange.com, as well as a link to christopherscomputers.com. And our buddy Christopher on Merriman Avenue is the best computer technician around. Trust me, he works on all of our stuff. And I've gotten some wonderful feedback from listeners who have taken my advice and have contacted Christopher. I imagine anywhere you are in the country, you can give him a call. Maybe he might be able to help you out, but you're especially lucky if you're here in our area. The number to Christopher's computers is 828-670-9800. Again, that's 828-670-9800. And again, that website, christopherscomputers.com. Now, Sam, before the break, well, for one thing, you brought up a question regarding haunted houses. Would you like to ask that here on the air?
About the why does it seem that most hauntings in residential houses and stuff are like by like children, like little girls in 90s from the turn of the century?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, in this case, with the Civil War soldier, I was saying perhaps this individual is so confused that he doesn't even understand at his moment in time what's happening. And perhaps if we believe all of these people who have had near-death experiences, when you die, there is a choice that at some point can be made to move on to the light. Almost like another big birth canal that you pass through into the next realm. Well, this soldier may be confused because he's in the midst of war. Kids would be confused because they don't know what's going on. People who commit suicide are often very confused about what's happening in their lives. Also, think about this. If somebody dies and sees the light, it doesn't matter whether or not there actually is a God that may be waiting there to judge you on the other side. If you believe there might be, and you have a guilty conscience, you might want to delay that meeting a little bit.
I don't really think you have a say-so in the matter, really.
Well, that's a question, isn't it? How much choice do you have as to whether or not you move toward that point? We don't know the answer to that, but again, relying on people who have had near-death experiences, they say that they did have a choice as to whether or not to go to that light. And therefore, you may have a lot of people who have chosen not to go to that light because either they're afraid of it, or they're confused and don't know what's going on, or they are so attached to something superficial here in this world, treasure, a loved one, or they have some unfinished business, like trying to identify who murdered them. These could be issues that determine, if there is a choice, whether or not when that time comes, which we will all experience eventually.
It's the one thing we all have in common.
We certainly do. That may determine it. Obviously, these are all mysteries. Going back to, again, Einstein, he said, if we knew what we were doing, we wouldn't call it research. But that said, this clip that you looked at during the break, Sam, was shot by a good friend of mine named Patrick Burke. I've been in the field with him on battlefields. I trust him. I believe that this is authentic footage. What do you think of this clip at joshuapwarren.com showing this full-bodied apparition of a soldier at the Gettysburg battlefield?
Well, I'll play the role of the skeptic. I mean, it was definitely, if I could see, once you explained to me, I was like, what? Looks like a guy in night vision, which it was. And then you look to the right, and there is what appears to be a man. And you kind of see the outline of a Civil War-looking cap.
Yeah, a kepi.
Sure. if that's what you want to call it, mm-hmm. Mr. Haberdasherer. But, yeah, I mean, it's like a little, it's in a GIF format, so you can see it, so you don't have to keep rewinding it, you know. It's like, okay, and so you can make an opinion. If that's the case, and it's a very clear, very good video, or, you know, couple of stills caught, or however it was captured.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? But why would that one guy, how many people died at Gettysburg? How many of them were confused? Why is one guy roaming around? Like, Ed. Ed's just lost out there somewhere. Why isn't, like, you know, all the other guys? Why mm-hmm. that guy? There's hundreds of thousands of people that died in the Civil War.
Well, that's true, but we are only looking at the perspective of one camera.
True.
So we always have to look at all the variables from the point of view that we get. Maybe if you were at another point of view, you'd see more. What do you think, Shelley?
I love this video.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great video. I love that you can see this full body apparition with his leg as if he's trying to step over a wall, and it being in night vision, you can see him, but you can't see him. You can scan kind of through him, and then you've got this other guy who has no idea that there's a ghost in front of him.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's infrared. He can't see into it. He can't see it, but you can definitely tell it is a man there. It's just the contrast is amazing, and the detail of the apparition is really phenomenal.
So let me toss another hypothesis out there related to humans and time. Of course, it seems like the brain, for lack of a better term, may be like a personal time machine, meaning that you can remember what you had for lunch yesterday, so that mentally you're traveling back in time. And also, you can look at multiple future scenarios. When you're about to cross the street, for example, certain parts of the frontal lobe start firing off, and you look at different outcomes, possible scenarios, if you cross the street now or if you pause for 5 seconds, and so on. Is it possible that on some level, mentally, the past and the present and the future are actually all existing at once, but it's too much for our little brains to process at the same time, and so we are moving through it little by little, processing it at the rate we are capable. So imagine this as an illustration. Let's say we have a photograph, could be a landscape, and we blow it up into a giant poster, so that you can see each of the little pixels. And then we take an ant, and we try to show the ant what the picture is. The ant can't see it all. So we put the ant at the top left-hand corner, and the ant starts crawling across row by row, pixel by pixel, back and forth, scanning it. And then finally, when the ant gets to the end, boom, the whole big picture flashes before its eyes. Maybe we are living our lives like that. There's something we're supposed to learn here. That's the meaning of life. We're supposed to learn something. We're scanning it in, bit by bit, pixel by pixel. And then when you get to the end, whoa, your whole life flashes before your eyes. You see the whole thing from some new point of view. You see on a net scale whether or not you were a good or a bad person, if you were an optimistic or a pessimistic person, if you were a helpful or a hurtful person. The lesson hits you all at once, and then you die, and you move on to the next realm. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk even more about how time relates to the paranormal, and why that I like to call paranormal entities paratemporals. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
on the beach beside that old hotel. They're tearing it down now, but it's just as well. I haven't shown you everything a man can do. So stay with me, baby, I got plans for you. This is the time.
Back to Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. This is the New Year's edition of the show, the last show of 2014. And when you hear from us again, it will be 2015.
If
time is always the conditional. Tonight's program brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. WrightsCoinShop.com. 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. And I must tell you, if you are interested in starting off your new year well, do yourself a favor and go check out a website called freecharm.com. F-R-E-E, charm.com. Read the information there. It's a site that I put together. It's very simple. It's to the point. And it's a free good luck charm for you for the new year. And you can send it to anybody you care about. Freecharm.com. We're talking about time. And, you know, the word temporal refers to time and how we experience it. Para refers to beyond or outside of that. And so if I get into very specific, in-depth discussions with people about paranormal phenomena, I will frequently use the term paratemporal to talk about ghosts and cryptids and quote-unquote aliens. I call them paratemporals. That's a term that I invented out of necessity because I was writing a book and I wanted to come up with some singular or some single term that would sort of generically envelop all these beings. And so in order to do that, I had to spend a lot of time thinking about the common denominator that they all had. And I realized it was time. It's easy when it comes to ghosts. I mean, usually ghosts are seen as beings from the past or even in some cases the future. So time is at the middle of that scenario. When it comes to, say, aliens. Again and again, we have these stories where, say, for example, some guy's driving down the road somewhere in the middle of Texas, and he ends up underneath a flying saucer, and his truck stops working. And he is sitting there dumbfounded as this thing hovers overhead, and then when it flies away, the truck just starts working again. He doesn't have to turn the ignition. It's not like that it died and he had to start it back up. it's like that his experience there, or with what we consider linear time, was halted. Now, he might still be able to experience time passing because he is a conscious being, which again means you have your own little time machine. That's what your brain is. Also, of course, people experience missing time when they encounter UFOs. When it comes to cryptids, how many times have you heard these stories about people following Bigfoot's pathway down the trail, and suddenly the footprints just come to an end, almost as if he teleported away or were raptured away somewhere? The creature has changed its position in space, and we know that space and time are connected, so again, here we have this variable of time. So time is at the center of not only the human experience, but also these things that we come into contact with that we consider paranormal. And so that's why I like to talk about this term paratemporals when related to strange entities. And, of course, beings that come here from elsewhere, the typical alien types, obviously are advanced enough to be able to sort of bend space-time, to sort of manipulate matter and energy, and that means that they are also playing around with this thing called time. This, of course, leads us to the idea of time travel. You know, the ancient alien thing is really popular now. Fortunately, due to, in large part, the History Channel program. And when we see all this evidence that maybe this Earth was visited en masse by alien beings thousands of years ago, and then, obviously, they left, for the most part, because it's not like we're bumping into them every day, then all these ancient cultures say, well, they're going to come back someday. That's what they said. Makes you wonder, is it possible that to us, 5,000 years passing on this planet is equivalent to a year for them? They've just gone back to get some supplies for a year, and when they come back, they're going to find, thousands of years later, Earth time, a new group of people, but we're still essentially the same creatures. And our planet probably hasn't changed that much from their point of view. Time plays a role again and again and again. And when you start thinking about these beings that can possibly play with time, it also brings us to something that I talk about once in a while called the paratemporal loop hypothesis. Now, this can get pretty deep and weird and complex. But essentially, the idea is that if ever, in the entire future, somebody is going to figure out how to travel back in time, that individual is going to do it. And, in fact, has done it. And, therefore, it could be a future human, or maybe it will be some other future species. Maybe humans will die out in a billion years. The fish man will be the scientist, and he'll figure out how to go back into the past. And he'll go back and adjust some things so that his life is better in his present. And he gets back and things are better for a while, and then it changes. And he goes, what happened here? Well, that's because a billion years after him, Bear Man, the evolution of the bears, Bear Man, the scientist, has discovered time travel. He thinks he's the first person to do it. He doesn't know the fish man did it. And he goes back. And so you have all these loops of future individuals that are traveling from the future back into the past and tweaking things. And this might explain why that one minute Bigfoot exists, the next minute he doesn't. One minute UFOs exist, the next minute they don't. One minute the house is haunted, the next minute it's not. That's because the butterfly effect here is changing the whole chain reaction every time one of these beings from the future goes back to the past and tweaks things a little bit.
What if it's a tweak on the butterfly effect, and like if a butterfly flaps its wings and wipes out the entire civilization, then every time that the UFOs disappear, that the ghost disappears, wouldn't like we all disappear too? Or
well, it could be, but okay, are you familiar with what's called the dead celebrities phenomenon? There's a whole big underground out there of people, and I'm one of them, actually, who believe that they have watched a news report at some point in their life, a legitimate news report pre-internet, before there were hoaxes and stuff, where it says somebody has died, and the next day, that person never died. For me, it was Jack Palance. When I was probably like...
He died in 94, maybe?
Yeah, but years before that, when I was a kid, I remember watching a news report saying, Jack Palance has died. And it was a big elaborate thing. They showed clips from his past. And I, of course, I knew who Jack Palance was because of he was the host of the original Ripley's Believe It or Not show. Hmm. And then the next day, Jack Palance was alive again. I started telling people, yeah, Jack Palance died. Huh, really? Now, Mobius has had this experience. Thousands of people around the world have had that experience. Now, if this paratemporal loop hypothesis is to blame, the explanation would be that celebrities just happen to be the most visible example of the regular human population. And that once in a while, when these timelines get changed around, they're dead 1 minute, and then they're alive the next minute. When we come back from this break, I'll tell you how I think that Men in Black may actually be the time cops. I wrote about this in my book, The Secret Wisdom of Kukulkan. It makes more sense than it sounds like at first. And we'll dig into it when we come back on this special New Year's edition of the program, where we explore the amazing, the mysterious, the downright weird. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange. In the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren, and next hour we call it the Dark 30 Hour. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. That is when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial, sordid and seedy material. News stories that you don't hear so much about the rest of the week in the mainstream media, so you can decide whether or not you want to listen to that. Right now, we're wrapping up a conversation about time on this New Year's edition of the show. So, if there are beings in our future that have learned to travel back in time, and they are doing it, and they're screwing around with things, well, at some point, somewhere, maybe there has to be some order brought into this. Hence, we have the time cops, the men in black. Now, let me place this into a more realistic context. During the 20th century, the term men in black originated. Why is it they would always dress in black suits?
Ooh, 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 Mr. Carter.
What's your answer?
It was because that would blend in any era.
Precisely.
Yes.
You could wear that black suit in 1902 or 1999.
The only problem with that theory is post-1963, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Well, actually, when John F. Kennedy was inaugurated, that's when men stopped wearing hats. He did not wear a hat at his inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
So they would look out of place post-1963 wearing a hat.
Well, I'm only talking about suits.
Okay, okay.
You know, you said hats.
Well, I mean, that's typically involved.
Yeah, but not so much after the 60s, but still a minor slip-up. I still wear a black hat. I think I have mine around here somewhere.
It's right
you've
there.
Seen me wear it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a cap, but you've seen me wear my real black hat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of thing where you might notice a guy wearing a black hat, but you're not going to say, he's an alien from another time.
The black suit is pretty much the blue jeans and the T-shirt and the Chuck Taylors of...
Yeah, so if you're going to be on duty and your era gets to be this 100-year period here, you don't want to have to be changing clothes 10 times a day because you're hopping around. You want to pick the outfit that's going to be the most versatile for any period of time you might end up in that century. Which means if that is a correct theory, well then using that, you could potentially go to any century all throughout history, determine what outfit would be the most useful outfit for the span of that century, and then figure out what the men in black of that century would have probably looked like.
So what you're saying is if we went back to the Colosseum,
mm-hmm.
and if there were photos,
mm-hmm.
you would look for a guy in a toga and a thong sandal.
Well, whatever the most general toga
is. That was the only dress.
that's the gig that everybody hopes to get. They want to get on toga duty, because that's easy. Therefore, you might, well, there are all these very weird, obscure stories throughout history about weird men who pop up and do things. Even if you want to look at the Bible, there are stories like in Sodom and Gomorrah, for example, these strange men show up. They're called angels, of course.
Of course, men.
Yeah.
Bunch of men show up at Sodom and Gomorrah. Go figure.
And of course, in the Bible, the terminology was much more limited, and so angels, demons, those are terms you could have tossed out there pretty broadly. And often you have these stories about, you know, these strange beings who have unusual powers. They look like men, but they're very mysterious, who pop up, and they fulfill a certain mission, and then they disappear.
The Blues Brothers.
Pretty much.
We're on a mission from God.
Precisely, yeah. So I would like, I've never done this, I don't have the skill really, but somebody who knows a lot about wardrobes throughout history and understands this hypothesis, this paratemporal loop hypothesis, should sit down, go throughout all these historical accounts of you know, strange groups of men showing up, influencing things, and tie it all together. What a great book that would be.
What would be the outfit of, say, like the 1800s?
I'm not sure.
I'm thinking like maybe like a Charles Ingalls, Little House on the Prairie type thing.
Well, we would think that, but maybe, you know, maybe that's just because we watched Little House on the Prairie.
Right.
I don't know. You'd have to look realistically. Okay, my friends, we're going to take a break. When we come back, yes, it will be time for that notorious, that infamous, that nefarious Dark 30 hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the last Speaking of Strange of the year 2014. Whoa. And all the real naughty fun kicks in right after these very important messages brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. Stick around for more Speaking of Strange.